It is nearly 12 o'clock and time for the KMXT Midday Report. Thank you for listening to KMXT, broadcasting on 100.1 FM. It is your public radio station from Kodiak, Alaska, where it is currently 22 degrees. It's been hovering in the low 20s all day long. Out at the airport right now, they are showing westerly winds at 6 miles per hour, 85% humidity, and 10 miles of visibility. Look for mostly sunny skies for the rest of the day. High near 32. I'm not sure if we're going to get there. Northwest winds to 10. Those northwest winds are expected to continue for tonight and tomorrow. Coming up to 15 tonight. Up to 20 tomorrow. Mostly cloudy overnight with a low of 27. Partly sunny tomorrow with a high near 34. And snow is likely late Saturday night. At least through early Sunday morning. Coming up on the Midday Report, starring those who celebrate Russian Orthodox Christmas are excited to get back to it. Last year's wildfire season was the biggest ever in Bristol Bay.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. State elections officials and police officers who endure campaigns of intimidation, death threats, or stared down mobs of pro-Trump extremists in Washington in 2021 are being honored on the second anniversary of the insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. At the White House today, presidential citizens' medals were presented to several people. In a few cases, relatives accepted on behalf of loved ones who died following the January 6 riot. Among them was Aaron Smith, widow of Jeffrey Smith, who sustained a head injury during the attack and later died by suicide. His was among several names read aloud.
His passing sparked changes in the law that honor the silent injuries of our fallen officers. For his extraordinary heroism, pure courage, and unwavering devotion to the nation, we the people honor Metropolitan Police Department Officer Jeffrey L. Smith.
Earlier, President Biden said the individuals honored today upheld democracy.
On this day, 2 years ago, our democracy held because we the people, as the Constitution refers to us, we the people did not flinch. We the people endured. We the people prevailed.
Lawmakers commemorated the event with a moment of silence this morning in the House of Representatives. Meanwhile, in the House remains at an impasse over selection of a speaker. They've adjourned until 10 p.m. with Kevin McCarthy inching closer to securing the gavel. NPR's Jimena Bustillo reports committees and members are in a holding pattern.
Impacts of the speakership lull are already being felt on committees. Incoming House Agriculture Chair Glenn Thompson was scheduled to lead his first committee farm bill listening session at the Pennsylvania Farm Show on Saturday, joined by Republicans and Democrats. But it's now postponed until Friday, January 13th. Committee membership is also unable to form until the House passes a rules package. Committee placements are one of the bargaining chips that are being hotly negotiated this week. McCarthy holdouts are vying for more positions on key panels, including the Rules Committee. Jimena Bustillo, NPR News, Washington.
Just a day after DeMar Hamlin's doctor said the next milestone would be getting the Buffalo Bills player to breathe on his own, he's doing it. Here's WVXU's Ann Thompson.
Head coach Sean McDermott had a treat for his players. The hospitalized defensive back on a video screen and off the ventilator. DeMar Hamlin flexed his muscles and showed his love.
He made the heart symbol probably more than anything. And then he gave him a thumbs up. So somewhere in the midst of that, and it was a little bit hard to hear, but he, as you'd imagine, he said, I love you, boys.
His team stood up, yelled, and clapped. Hamlin collapsed Monday night during a game with the Bengals. Doctors still don't know what exactly caused his cardiac arrest.
Ann Thompson reporting. It's NPR.
NPR News is presentada a usted en parte por la Providence Kodiak Island Centro de Asesoramiento. Para una cita o más información, por favor, llama al 907-481-2400.
For KMXT, I'm Terry Haynes. In many homes across Alaska, Christmas trees stay up through mid-January in celebration of Russian Orthodox Christmas, which falls on January 7th. There are days of feasting and praying and starring. KMXT's Kirsten Dobroth reports that after 2 years of relative quiet due to the pandemic, parishioners on Kodiak Island are ready to bring back the tradition.
In Aleutic, the practice of starring is known as slawik. Parishioners twirl wooden stars covered in colorful tinsel as part of church ceremonies. The stars are then taken from home to home within the community. Carolers follow, singing hymns and packing into houses to eat and visit with loved ones. In the Russian Orthodox faith, the star symbolizes the birth of Jesus Christ and the Star of Bethlehem. Spirit in Ash is a reader at St. Herman Theological Seminary in Kodiak.
And there's just beautiful local foods that are served, and elders might speak, address the people in the home. So it's just, there's so much richness to this in community, richness in faith.
Starring originated in Ukraine, where it's still practiced today. For centuries, it's also been a celebrated tradition in Orthodox communities across Alaska. Father Vasily Fisher is a dean at the seminary. He says people are excited about this year's slawik, particularly after not being able to gather for the last few years.
It's a wonderful expression, especially this anticipation of this year. I think most villages have been closed up because of the pandemic the past few years. And from what I've seen on social media is the anticipation of preparation.
Starring can go on for up to a week, and sometimes stars will travel to different villages. Many communities have their own customs. Some parishioners will exchange gifts when the star visits their home. Others sing different songs. Father Vasily says where he's from, near Bethel, carolers and the star visit the local cemetery.
It's also a season where we remember those of our loved ones who passed from this life.
He says that's taken on new meaning since the pandemic began nearly 3 years ago. Russian Orthodox Christmas services begin in Kodiak on Friday and run through the weekend. And starring will take place throughout the villages on the Kodiak Archipelago and in homes within the city of Kodiak. Ash says the whole community is looking forward to it.
It's a very heartwarming time. It brings back so many beautiful memories. And it's just a beautiful time to recognize the reason for the season.
It's also a time to celebrate being together once again. In Kodiak, I'm Kirsten Dobrath.
Last year's wildfire season was one of the worst on record in Bristol Bay, following a trend toward bigger and more numerous fires in southwest Alaska. KDLG's Izzy Ross takes a look at what environmental conditions fanned those flames.
More land burned in the Bristol Bay region last summer than in the past 72 years combined. University of Alaska Fairbanks climate specialist Rick Toman says that is amazing.
In southwest Alaska, we really have not seen anything like this. And the Bristol Bay region was the most extreme of all the extremes.
The Alaska Fire Service boundaries for Bristol Bay stretch from Platinum in the west to north of Iliamna Lake, east to the Gulf of Alaska coast, and down the Alaska Peninsula to Port Hyden. Toman says the biggest fires were the Kaktuli and Pike Creek fires north of Iliamna Lake. But there were other big fires too, like the Iowithla fire, which came within 9 miles of Dillingham.
By far the largest wildfire on record close to Dillingham. And well south of King Salmon, we had that Contact Creek fire early in the season. Again, a 10,000-acre fire in a place that we just don't expect this kind of thing. So really, it wasn't just, oh, there was one big fire. We had big fires, and they were all over the Bristol Bay region.
For that to happen, Toman says, many factors have to align. One ingredient is dry fuel. In Alaska, that fuel is both the forest and the ground cover.
This is very different than, say, the lower 48, where what you're going to burn is vegetation above ground. We have both the above ground and that duff layer right at and just below the surface, that is equally flammable. So we've got to get that dry.
Sun, wind, and a lack of rain are all conducive to starting and growing wildfires. And there needs to be a spark. In Alaska, that spark is often lightning.
We had a burst of lightning from the last days of May through the first week of June all across Southwest Alaska, several days in a row with lots of lightning. And as is typical for early summer thunderstorms, lots of places had lightning, but no significant rain. And that touched off many fires in the course of a few days across Southwest Alaska.
Another factor, snowmelt. Some areas of the region had an early snowmelt and a warm, dry spring. That meant the tundra dried out earlier. But other areas, like Dillingham, had a lot of snow and rain at the end of the winter, which left a high snowpack.
The early snowmelt was not so much a factor, but the warm and dry weather after the snow was all gone certainly contributed.
Toman says Southwest Alaska crossed a threshold in 2015. Wildfires have gotten larger and more numerous. For example, in four separate seasons since 2015, more acreage has burned in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta than any other year prior. Toman says it's one of the clearest signals of climate change-induced shifts in Alaska.
The elders are telling us there is much more vegetation on the tundra. Tundra vegetation is growing higher, it's growing thicker. In the transition between boreal forest and the tundra, the trees are growing farther up away from the rivers. The trees near the rivers are growing bigger. And all of that means there's more fuel for fire to burn once it gets going.
Toman doesn't think next summer will be as extreme because all those factors would have to align again. But he says if wildfires have taught us anything in recent years, it's that sometimes unlikely things happen. In Dillingham, I'm Izzy Ross.
With Republicans in the U.S. House still unable to elect a speaker, Alaska Congresswoman Mary Peltola said yesterday it might be time to start thinking about a bipartisan solution, even as she acknowledged that goes against the grain of Congress. Alaska Public Media Washington correspondent Liz Ruskin has this report.
Peltola says she's received tons of text messages from Alaskans proposing to end the speaker stalemate the way Juneau often does, with a bipartisan coalition leading the House. Like all U.S. House Democrats, she's voted each and every time this week for Hakeem Jeffries for speaker. But on the third day, she emailed a statement saying, quote, "If there are members who want to form a coalition majority like we often see in Alaska, I'm open to discussing that," end quote. Peltola says it's a great concept in theory, especially for a state house of 40 members.
But in a field of 435, where the divisions are so deep, and even in nominating speeches, the language is very incendiary, very fomenting, very divisive, very accusatory, very blaming, even in nominating speeches.
It can take 30 days to put a coalition together in Juneau, and she says it would take even longer in D.C. Peltola isn't starting down this path, as lovely as it may be.
I just want to be clear that I am not imagining I would be putting a coalition together. What I'm saying is I think Americans at large would be delighted to see a functioning House and one that is able to work beyond partisanship.
Democratic Congressman Adam Smith from the Seattle area says a Juneau-style coalition just isn't possible in the U.S. House.
If the Republicans were prepared to offer us a true power-sharing arrangement whereby we chaired some committees, we got things in the rules package that we wanted, but they won't do that. I mean, the rules package that they've put together is an abomination, in our opinion. So they'd have to radically change that and offer us far more than I think they would ever even consider offering.
Another thing that's not going to happen, Smith says Democrats aren't going to peel off and support Republican frontrunner Kevin McCarthy just to end the impasse. Among other complaints about him, Smith says McCarthy empowered the right-wing hardliners who are now denying him the speakership and has refused to hold the January 6 insurrectionists to account. Reporting from the U.S. Capitol, I'm Liz Ruskin.
Skagway is home to an internet sensation. Skagway is home to an internet sensation, a wife and husband dog walking team that makes videos of their daily routines. On New Year's Eve, they hit the benchmark of over 1 million social media followers. KHNS's Mike Swayze reports.
Good morning, Jake.
Well, good morning.
They call themselves Mo Mountain Mutts, and the videos they make of their operation have gone from viral to national news. Based in Skagway, Mo Thompson started small, taking friends' dogs out on walks during lunch breaks from her job.
I started working with some teachers at the school, and it just kind of was a ripple effect of, hey, I heard you're really good with dogs. Can you help me? Hey, I heard you're really good with dogs. Can you help me? And then I needed a second pack walk because I started grouping dogs together by their personalities. So we had our morning crew and our afternoon crew. And then it just grew to the point where I needed some help from Lee.
Lee is her husband. The couple has an eight-month-old baby boy named Vern, who also goes on walks every day, unless the weather is too cold. Mo says she loves those days, too.
Because we usually have everything to ourselves. Nobody's usually outside, and we can play the in and the out game. I usually leave my vehicle running, and the dogs can kind of come and go and warm their little toes up in their seat and come back out.
The couple bought a passenger bus from a local business last winter, but their passengers are all dogs.
Lee and I together are just a couple of goofballs. So we just Lee just started pointing the camera at me, or he would have a silly idea on the bus. And that's really what went viral.
They hit 1 million TikTok subscribers on New Year's Eve, so they popped some champagne and a new bag of treats for their dogs. One video has captured more attention than the others. It's received over 45 million views on TikTok alone.
That's the dogs getting on the bus. It's like Jake, he walks in, gets in his own seat. Amaru's outside, sitting on the curb, waiting for the bus. Bama just gets in, lets the dog sniff her, mingles back to her seat, and then Slade just comes like flying on, jumps in the seat, and starts making out with Otis.
People have started making fan edits, placing themselves on the bus. Lee and Mo both admit how lucky they are to do something they love for a living.
I look in the rearview mirror of the bus as I'm driving sometimes, and I just see all the dogs back there. I'm like, I can't believe this is what we do for a living.
We say that all the time. I can't believe this is my job.
The couple operates their puppy bus year-round and doesn't plan to expand operations. But they do hope to make a bit of extra money through TikTok and expand into monetizing YouTube videos. Mo is also hosting web-based training sessions. The website is MoMountainMutts.com, where they sell merchandise like their yearly puppy calendar. They've recently done a national interview with CNN and were contacted by The Rachel Ray Show.
Good morning, Amaru. Hey, you're not buckled in.
Reporting from Skagway, I'm Mike Swayze.
The job market is still hot, but are there signs of cooling? I'm Nova Safo with a Marketplace Minute. The economy added 223,000 jobs in December, a solid number, but the smallest gain in 2 years. The Labor Department said the unemployment rate declined to 3.5%. Growth in average wages slowed to a monthly gain of 0.3%, slightly less than in November. Average hourly wages grew more than 4.5% for the year, which is significantly lower than the March peak of 5.5%. These numbers suggest a slight cooling in the labor market, which could mean a more restrained Federal Reserve. The central bank has indicated that a persistent tight labor market and higher wages could require more interest rate hikes than previously thought. I'm Nova Safo with the Marketplace Minute.
The Alaska Aerospace Corporation will be conducting rocket testing operations at Narrow Cape January 6th through January 13th. Road closures could be in place between 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. To ensure public safety during the operations, there will be restrictions at milepost 10 of the Passagshaak Road until hazardous operations have concluded for the day. Refer to the Pacific Spaceport Complex Alaska hotline at 833-772-2321 for updates. That's 833-PSCA-321.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon and welcome to your Island Messenger for Friday. It is the 6th day of January, the year 2023. The sun rose today at 9:50. It will set again at 4:40. That will give us 6 hours and 50 minutes of daylight, a gain of 2 minutes and 16 seconds compared to yesterday. Our record high for this date was 46 degrees, set in 1979, and our record low was 2, set in 2020. And just a reminder, it is a full moon officially this afternoon, completely full, so look for a full moon tonight. They are calling for mostly cloudy skies overnight tonight, but we'll see because they're saying mostly sunny this afternoon and partly sunny tomorrow. High near 32 today, if it'll get there. We have bumped up to 25 degrees recently. Northwest winds will be blowing up to 10 today, up to 15 tonight, and up to 20 tomorrow. And tomorrow night, they are still calling for snow, and mainly after 4 a.m., with areas of blowing snow tomorrow or Sunday morning. Looking at our local tides, we have a high tide coming up in a few minutes here on the east side. That will happen at 1:09 this afternoon and be 9.6 feet. Followed by a low tide at 8:11 p.m. of minus 5/10. Over on the west side, your high tide will happen at 1:42 this afternoon and be 14.6 feet, followed by a low tide at 8:38 p.m. of minus 1.3 feet in Larsen Bay. Mariners, here is your forecast for Marmot Island to Sitkanat, Kodiak's east side, small craft advisory through tomorrow. North winds coming up to 20 knots tonight, seas to 8 feet. For tomorrow, north 30, seas to 10 feet. And for Saturday night, north 35, seas to 13 feet. Sunday through Monday, east winds to 25, seas to 15 feet. Over in the Shelikof Strait, small craft advisory through tomorrow. Variable 10 will become northeast 20 tonight. Seas 3 feet, building to 5 feet tonight in the Shelikof. And for tomorrow, north winds to 30 knots, seas to 8 feet. Saturday night, north winds to 30 knots, seas to 9 feet. And Sunday through Monday on our west side, east winds to 30 knots, seas to 7 feet. Well, the Alaska Youth for Environmental Action is excited to announce that applications are still open for the 2023 Civics and Conservation Summit. The Civics and Conservation Summit allows young leaders from communities across the state to bring their concerns directly to the Alaska State Legislature. They will learn how to advocate for the issues that matter to your communities and have their voices heard in Juneau. Alaskans aged 13 through 18 from across the state have been encouraged to apply, and community members are encouraged to nominate the powerhouse youth leaders in their community. Applications are open now, but are only going through tomorrow. So you have this is the last day to apply. To learn more on how to apply or nominate a team, visit their website. That's at ayea.org, ayea.org. Notice is hereby given that there will be a Board of Education work session next Monday, January 9th. That's happening at 6:30 p.m. and will be immediately followed by a special meeting that's happening in District Services Room F-140 of the old high school wing. The meeting agenda and packet can be viewed on board docs at the Board of Education website. Items on the special meeting agenda include the 2022-23 certificated contract and an executive session in which the budget and negotiations will be discussed. Kodiak City Council will be having a work session next Tuesday. The meeting begins at 7:30 p.m. and will be held in the Kodiak Public Library. They will also be having a regular meeting on Thursday. That meeting will also be held at 7:30 p.m. in the Public Library. Both meetings are open to the public, and public members are encouraged to tune in right here at KMXT on 100.1 FM. The meeting will also be web-streamed, and the web-streaming link as well as meeting packets are available online at the City of Kodiak website. For those who wish to request printed meeting materials or have questions regarding the meeting, contact the City Clerk's office at 907-486-8636. Galley Tables is coming up January 13th, and they are still looking for some storytellers for this month. The theme is Tried and True or Shiny and New. If you have a story to tell, you can sign up at galleytables.com or send them an email to galleytables, galley is spelled G-A-L-L-E-Y, galleytables@gmail.com. The Elutic Museum is renovating its gallery. They'd like you to join them Wednesday, January 11th, next Wednesday from 5:30 to 7 p.m. at the museum for their second community conversation. It's an opportunity to share your ideas for their exhibits, and it will be facilitated by Sarah Asper-Smith of Exhibit AK. This is an opportunity for you to provide input. Come help them envision future exhibits. It's free and open to the public, generously supported by CONIAG and the Institute for Museum and Library Sciences. But again, that's next Wednesday, January 11th, from 5:30 to 7 p.m. at the Elutic Museum. Attention commercial fishing vessels participating in the 2023 Tanner Crab Fishery. The Coast Guard would like to remind you to consider the stability of your vessel when loading crab pots. Stacking the pots changes the center of gravity, and that affects stability, especially in icing conditions. A vessel with 6 inches or less of freeboard at amidships may be operating in especially hazardous conditions. Personnel from the Coast Guard Safety Office in Kodiak will be walking the docks, providing voluntary safety compliance checks with an emphasis on stability. And you can contact them directly by calling them at 907-486-5918 or just stop by their office in the subway building downtown if you have any questions. And KMXT's 2023 calendars are here. If you're a current member, stop by and pick up your free copy. I'm sure there are a few left. You should probably get in pretty quickly. Non-members can also pick up copies for $20 each, and members can have additional copies for $15 each. And another thanks to everyone who submitted photos, especially to those who had their entries picked for the calendar.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT 3 times a day. Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., during the Midday Report at 12:20, and in the evening at 7 o'clock. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.
Hello, Kodiak, and welcome to the January 6th edition of Island Byways. I'm Pam Foreman. Did you catch a glimpse of the gorgeous moon on Thursday? It officially becomes a full moon Friday afternoon here in Kodiak. January's full moon is often known as the Wolf Moon, so named because wolves are usually active and vocal in January. This full moon is also sometimes called the Cold Moon, for obvious reasons to us here in the northern climes. On Friday evening, you'll notice two bright stars near the moon. Those are Castor and Pollux, otherwise known as the twins, which make up the constellation Gemini. On Friday evening, the moon and the twins will form something close to a triangle. You can spot them close to the moon on Saturday evening, too, but they'll look more like a curved line that night. Coming up later in the month, we have a pretty good chance at seeing a comet, one that hasn't been visible from here on Earth since the last ice age. Pretty cool, huh? No pun intended. The comet, with the shortened name E3, will zoom close to the sun next week and then will be more visible to us in the latter part of the month and early February. Stay tuned for more information as we get closer to the end of the month. Galley Tables announces the next storytelling event coming up on January 13th. The theme this month is Tried and True, or Shiny and New, and they're looking for more storytellers for the event. Stories are limited to 7 minutes each person, and you get to tell your story in front of the friendliest audience on earth. Really. To sign up, go to galleytables.com or send an email to galleytables@gmail.com. And that's it for Island Byways this week. Have fun and stay safe out there. Thanks for listening.